Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. This week, we've been examining the promise and realities of clean energy in our series, Project Milwaukee Power Switch. Most of what we've talked about in our series has been on a policy or macroeconomic level. But what about green energy as it's been employed on an individual scale? We're all pretty familiar with green design at a residential level, but green energy is also being used by individual homeowners and renters in forms like solar panels or small wind turbines or even your own generator or oil, propane or wood stove. A recent Harvard study looks at the idea of retrofitting older houses to be more energy efficient and some of the contradictions in that practice. Matt Creer is a designer and green certified professional home builder with the Design Group 3 in Glendale. He spoke with Lake Effect's Dan Harmon about green design and what he saw as the takeaway message of that Harvard research.
The U.S. housing stock is ready for renewal. It's been a tough several years with the economic slump, and I think the industry's starting to pull out of its downturn. And the large housing stock is really just waiting to be renewed. There's a lot of foreclosures. Those properties need a lot of rehabilitation. Sustainable home improvements are gaining popularity. And older homeowners, baby boomers, they're retrofitting their home, thinking long term, and trying to accommodate their evolving needs. Aging in place is an example. So I think for all those reasons, we're going to see a lot more work in the remodeling industry.
When I saw the title of that report and it said renew, or we need to renew the housing stock or the housing stock will be renewed, I thought, oh, well, we're going to rip everything down and start over. Or is it what you just said? Is it going to be remodeling?
It's going to be remodeling. I mean, I think there'll be some teardowns, of course, but what we're going to see is that there's, you know, areas for improvement and for retrofitting, that these things can be salvageable and there are ways to benefit yourself as a homeowner to take advantage of some of these situations and put sensible dollars into the investment that are going to give you a great return, you know, on that investment and help you to be a little more sustainable in your living. So for these long-term purchases, you know, you're going to find that your utility bills are less and that it's starting to pay you back, even in some short-term cases, you know, depending on how much you're willing to explore, you know, for the retrofitting of any green remodeling building or tightening up of your existing structure.
Now, we are in the middle of our Project Milwaukee series on green energy. I'd just like to get your opinion on how green design, which I think a lot of people have a pretty good grasp on what green design is, how do you reconcile green design with green energy?
Green design and green energy, I think, in my terms, would be, you know, one, saving cost, and other, for saving or reusing material is always a good idea, of course, to salvage, reuse, and, you know, make use of what's already there, less effect on the environment or less impact, I should say. You know, as far as the, you know, the green energy aspect of things, I think we can be more sustainable, and it goes back to savings, number one, putting money back in your pocket, and also your health. I think that there's a lot to be gained from being energy efficient and improving your indoor air quality by doing all of those things related to green energy. So again, materials and mechanicals, those things will define, I think, those terms, and there's kind of a gray area in between, but a combination of that can really help make for an excellent home, you know, to live in and breathe in.
Well, for example, green design might be making your house more energy efficient, either a new design or a retrofit, either more insulation, better windows, et cetera. But the house will still be powered by electricity from coal. So is that considered green? Is that one of those gray areas that you just mentioned?
Yeah, exactly. I think the term green has been thrown around, and we almost should be looking for a new term, and sometimes sustainable design is another way of putting it. But, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, green is going to mean that, you know, you're reusing, renewing, and creating a new home that, again, is going to cost you less to operate and improve your indoor air quality and health at the same time.
Well, since we're talking about green energy during this series, I want to get your opinion on things that homeowners can do, some have done, to provide their own energy. And it could be as extreme as having your own generator, which isn't necessarily a green form of energy. But for a long time, we've had the ability for homeowners to put solar panels on their houses And in some areas, people are actually putting up kind of a very old-fashioned way of doing it, but they put up a wind generator. So are these things still on people's radar?
A lot of it will have to do with people's long-term investment and commitment into a particular home or property, you know, for its value and also its use. With the technology that's come about since the 70s with solar panels, the technology, you know, definitely has improved. It's made it a little more affordable at its upfront cost. And again, thinking long-term operating costs and less of relying on energy, you know, costs that continue to rise on us. I think that we're definitely going to see more interest on that. And there are some examples, you know, in the neighborhood here where you'll see that people have taken that next step to provide their own energy to be a little more self-sufficient and put money back in their pocket, have it start paying them back eventually. And typically that return on investment is, you know, within 10 years for most people.
Now, I am old enough to remember the 70s and the promise of home solar power, home solar panels. Whatever happened? I mean, there were predictions that, yes, it's expensive to put these on your home, but there was this idea that most new homes, anyway, would have them because then it would just be incorporated into the lifetime cost of the home. Why did that never happen?
That's a really great question. And being born in the late 70s, I wasn't quite as aware of that till I grew older and learned that it has been around and it wasn't something that came back. You know, it was being introduced now. It had been around. And, you know, I think my guess on the entire situation is that it wasn't as necessary as it is now. It was certainly something that was a clever idea and would be wonderful if it worked. Cost may be a factor initially, you know, but I think ultimately now, as consumers, homeowners, we're far more aware of what options we have, and we're really understanding the impacts that we have as humans on the environment. And we know much better now that, you know, what cigarettes can do, for example. And so we're just a smarter group of people in the world. And I think we're all understanding that there are ways for us to really make a great impact positively on the environment. And again, cost savings. It starts with savings and your health. And it will also give you better value in a home. It's been proven that energy-efficient homes will sell for more. So it's always a great idea for your savings, your health, and your value. And I don't think that'll change anytime soon. That's on everybody's radar.
And what about the idea of wind home generation?
You know, also very popular. And I think where space allows for and where communities are beginning to allow these things to be installed, it's going to get more popular. Again, savings is going to be a huge deal when you have that opportunity in your hands to think long term and live in this space where it's working for you and paying you back. And I think we will see more. That's one that I'd really like to also become a little more involved in the future if the opportunity presents itself.
As a designer, are you aware of any restrictions? Maybe it's a community by community arrangement where some communities probably won't feel too wonderful about you having a windmill in your backyard, especially in urban environments. And I've heard the same thing about solar panels in some cases, or at least even though the licensing requirements are pretty prohibitive. So how do you find that in Milwaukee area anyway? Is the city and suburbs, are they pretty friendly to this kind of non-utility power generation?
I think as it becomes more popular, you know, we're going to see that there's going to be some more strict and solid rules on these things. Right now, it's still, again, one of those situations where, you know, they're being introduced and being allowed, and as it becomes an issue for others, you know, perhaps that the restrictions will grow. I know that solar power right now is really sort of accepted and not frowned upon, even though it visually can create some aesthetics on things. There are those limitations that just haven't been enforced yet. I haven't had any direct involvement on a project recently to know what the limitations are here in the metro area. But, you know, overall, I think that you're going to see the, you know, those type of limitations increase, but also be worked in so that we can still take advantage of these things.
Well, there's certainly no restrictions on people having satellite dishes.
That's very true and a very good point. So I think that it'd be a tough fight on both sides.
All right. Well, the flip side of that, I guess, besides government regulation and licensing is the utilities. The utilities, do they have anything to gain by people providing their own power, or is their interest too entrenched and they don't see this very in a friendly way?
Well, I would suppose that the initial thought would be that they're not seeing that in such a friendly way. But if you decrease the demand, I think that there's going to be some offset in costs as well to them. So there is going to be some benefits for both, as hard as that might be to believe. And I think there will be some cooperation between the two to allow for both of them to benefit, and from a savings standpoint.
Something that's more of a green design consideration as opposed to green energy, but it relates to energy in that size. There's been a movement for a while to go back to smaller houses, and by smaller these days, that means 2,100 square feet or 2,500 square feet when it comes to new homes. Do you find the building industry is still a bit lagging in that idea? I mean, I know of someone that wanted to build a 2,500 square foot house, and the builder just would not bring anything in under 4,300 square feet. They couldn't do it. So I'm wondering if that smaller home paradigm is more, it's for a select group of people rather than the mainstream home builder.
Yes. I do think that, again, consumers and homeowners are being very sensible with their needs and, you know, what they're actually going to use. The McMansion term that was always thrown around was bigger is better, and these spaces are just enormous. And I think that fad sort of faded a bit when we start to realize that, you know, we don't need to be such a wasteful society, and that you can get by with much less. And when you have the means to do so, that will put you in a more of an elite category in some cases. But again, I think it goes back to, you know, people being sensible with what they actually need and what they want to pay for. And when that comes down to that point, there's a good balance between what you really want and what you need. And when you take those two things into consideration, I think the square footage will come down. There's great creative solutions to give the client what they need when you look at space, space planning, and value.
Is it always a dollars and cents consideration for homeowners? I mean, is it always a you're going to get back what you put into it, or is there a moral consideration in some cases, or just people that want to be more energy independent?
I think there's a small group of people that just want to be more independent. That might be their nature, but the first question I usually get is it worth it? You know, or what can I do? What makes sense to do? A lot of times the renovation itself will be one where I don't need to price myself out of the neighborhood. Does it make sense for me to put that money into this house, you know, or should I move? There's a balance there for the renovation itself, and then also what we can do to be more sustainable and more green practices, both in the renovation and in the existing house. So I really think it does boil down to savings and health and your quality of life. Ultimately, it'll give you value in the end, and I think that, you know, those three things are really going to make for more and more projects coming up. And long term, as I see it, I think, you know, the way green building and LEED certification for new homes, it's going to eventually be the standard way of the way we build homes. But I think we're far from that, and there's ways to get by without doing that. It's all about understanding what is going to return back to you quicker in the beginning of the process.
All right, Matt Creer, thank you for coming on Lake Effect.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Matt Creer is a designer and green certified professional home builder with Design Group 3 in Glendale. He spoke with Lake Effect's Dan Harmon about green energy on a residential scale. There's a link to the Harvard Housing Study from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Coming up next, eco-justice on a small scale that hopes to make a big impact. We'll talk with Sister Janet Weicker about her center next as our Project Milwaukee Power Switch series continues on WUWM.